Good morning. Today is Wednesday, December the 2nd, 336th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, this isn't your last one for the year. Let me get you one more time.
Oh, because we skipped the other.
Ryan Sundberg. Yeah, I'm looking. We've got
Rex and
four more. And we've got, yeah.
We'll
probably get you on the 30th.
By the elections going on. Is that...
Well, that's the, kind of the concept there, the balance thing. It works for me.
Even if no one's running against them.
You never know.
Yeah.
We had one a couple years ago. Terry Farmer's not his last, but the preceding. And we had done that, and then somebody filed and then wanted.
Oh, wanted to and it's like, talk shop?
Yeah, and claiming, you know, equal access.
Okay.
And it's like, well, we could go through the whole lawyer thing. Or we could just give it to him. Unfortunately, it was when he was running for judge, and there were seven opponents. Yeah. Kind of knocked things out for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, I see.
Nothing's more exciting than to talk to judges about why they're running for office and why the other guys are not dirty skunks, but they're all good quality people. I just have a different perspective.
Yeah. Pretty politically correct.
Nah, I just couldn't get him to say anything.
Well, in my last election, the person filed on the last day that you could file.
Well, okay, that would kind of make sense. Unless you want, you know, have all the... How many more fundraisers do you want in advance of that?
Well, you have to get in there. I mean, the first time I ran, I started a year ahead of time. So it...
Early achiever all your life?
No, it takes that long to get all your committees put together and fundraisers planned and start getting your name out, if you know, especially if you don't have big name recognition. And
oh, we know Sundberg in the 5th is really an unknown name.
Well, I don't know how many people
perhaps
knew me
before. Ryan part was, but not Sundberg. Oh, before we dribble on too far, our quote this morning comes from Gerald Ford. Quote, you remember he was a golf-playing president.
Yeah.
I'd like to deny all the allegations by Bob Hope that during my last game of golf I hit an eagle, a birdie, an elk, and a moose.
That's funny.
Yeah. I need to read some of the biographies on Ford. I liked him. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he did pardon Nixon. We just were able to move on instead of going back and reiterating and grinding things over 15 more years. Kind of like what we've been doing the last 8. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somebody accused me of being PC.
You?
Yeah, kind of hacked me off.
Yeah, I guess.
Said these calluses on the back of my hand from dragging on the ground have been well earned. I don't want somebody not to think that those are...
You're going to have to change that rep.
Do you get any heat from showing up on this thing?
No. None.
No, nobody cares.
I feel like that most of the time.
Yeah. We're both out on our own little island, not to worry about it.
And if they do, they make sure that I know.
Yeah. Yeah, those would be those anonymous emails, right? Yeah, no kidding. Oh, boy. Well, we come back, we can talk a little bit about, you know, we got through the holidays, we got through the elections, all that kind of stuff. We'll talk about 2015. Good, bad, indifferent. Did it tee us up for future success, or did we lose our balls trying to play the game?
Okay.
We'll figure it out when we come back.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. For you, was 2015 good? Was 2015 surviving year? Or was it really kind of in the dumpster?
For me, 2015 felt kind of like the beginning of the rebound for us. You know, our our budget's been stable the last few years. You know, when I first came on in 2010, it was, you know, the hatchet was out and we were cutting, and, you know, everyone had to take cuts across the board the first couple of years, and then it stabilized. And then last year was the first year that we actually had money, and we said, you know, what, you know, it was all one-time money. We don't have a lot of ongoing money, but we, you know, we had...
You got Z.
Well, we got Z, but we also, on top of Z, you know, Z was all spent by what, you know, pretty much what the recommendations were. And, you know, so that's, we've been keeping Z completely separate, you know, to make sure that we can account for it and then make sure that the, you know, people know where it went.
Well, let's put the focus outside the building. You're not at 4th and H. I, J, K, R. Let's say you're at 7th and G. 7th and H. Okay. So you're not, it's not in the county structure, it's in the county. Good year, bad year, indifferent. What do you think the community thinks?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much the same. It's, you know, a rebound year and things are starting to tick up, and I've talked to quite a few businesses who are also feeling the same thing. You know, that it's not back, but it's getting better, and they're optimistic about the future. And I think things are looking up.
What about on the job scene? You know, I know everybody when they run for office, it's, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to get all these jobs, blah, 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 blah. I know when you were running, you had your hoped pet project. Mm-hmm. It was a little incubator thing.
I've got an update on that if you want to.
Out by the pet corral.
Pet corral.
Okay. The shelter out by the airport. You said you had an update. It's your turn, baby.
Okay. So where we're at is we're
still trying to keep it in the middle of the fairway here.
Okay. Keep long and straight. So we brought a gentleman on board who has quite a bit of experience, and we found local businesses that donated a total of $2,000 to get it started. And we're going to do a feasibility study on co-packing up at the airport. So he's going to use, his name's Scott, and I can't remember.
Glad you remembered him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So he's gonna pull together interns at HSU and himself, and he's also got a team of people that he works with, and they're gonna pretty much donate all their time, and then use that money to pay for, you know, just the expenses that they have to go and, you know, printing and a little bit of salary here and there for people that he has to pay. And so pretty inexpensive, right? I mean, if we went out and tried to get a feasibility,
you throw some zeros down.
20,000 probably.
So they're looking to see if there's interest in?
Well, there's interest because, I mean, the, you know, Humboldt Hot Sauce is one of them that's kind of taken the lead on this. And, you know, we've got Tulip, the perfume place that has contracts with Target now. And all these guys, they do all their co-packing out of Humboldt County, and they go to pretty big places, and there's not a lot of places that do small co-packing. It's either big or you have to save up and then go do a large order with them to make it make sense. And I think it's like in Tennessee or something is where they have to go now. And they had one in Napa that basically they're too big. They want too big of orders now to do what they do.
So their demand was up. So they increase their minimums and left these guys behind.
So what we're looking at is there other people in the region that would also use this co-packing facility and do smaller runs?
And so why at the airport rather than, and you've heard me, you know, beat this drum, one of the old mill sites?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not excluding that. Yeah,
okay. This isn't site specific.
No, but we are including the airport site as part of the study area. You know, we're gonna put it wherever it makes sense. I mean, I don't care where the jobs come from, and if you can repurpose an old.
I mean, visible. It'd be so cool to have something happening there.
I would like to see it in the 5th district. But
okay, how about out by Big Lagoon, the old plant there?
Mm-hmm.
That would work.
they're going to study it and see which places make sense. But there's there's a lot of
MP. For the Ryan litmus test, that would work.
I'm not going to. I mean, if it makes more sense than the Yale River, then that's fine.
You know, I'm still trying to help out Oric.
No,
for 40 years or 50 years worth of getting dumped on.
There's possibilities all over the place, but you know, one of the places.
So is this a modular thing that could, in theory, expand as demand?
That's what they're talking about, is a scalable building. And you know, and the thing about how the airport is, you want it to have an airport component to it. So if they're going to fly stuff out, it'd you know be really easy. It's right on the freeway, or the highway, and if it's you know, and there's enough room to make it scalable, and so it. I think it's a good opportunity to look at this and see what makes sense. And it's been on my to-do list, so it's finally happening.
And you don't have enough confidence right now that driving north across 199 to get it to I-5 would be a wise decision?
I'm on that last chance grade committee, so yeah, that makes me a little nervous.
And ho 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 baby.
The last time we met, they said everything goes right, we'll have this done by 2031.
Good. Our great grandkids will see it. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg, Humboldt County Supervisor. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and Redeck. Ryan, the job picture for 2015, I know that a lot of folks are talking about the aquaculture, that might be this and that might be that. I've had a couple of discussions over the last 2 or 3 weeks with folks that go back as far as we do or longer. And there seems to still be a universal thought that we can save our area. We can get it back. But that the key impediment to that, it's not the image of marijuana. It's not the mental health. It's not the homeless. It's jobs. If we had a viable economic base here that was humming along, one, there'd be more people here. Two, there'd be more people here looking at the guys that are being the lounge lizards and giving them a hard time. There'd be more services available, or at least more opportunity, because the churches would be fuller, the donations would be more. You know, a healthy community
compounds
would be going
for
on.
Sure.
Yeah. When you look at 15, 16, do you see anything that's saying, not entrepreneur jobs, those don't count, job base expanding? Numbers of employed, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that everyone doesn't agree with this, but the cannabis business climate is going to be going full blast. You know, we've done a reverse calendar back for the land use part for cannabis, and then we, Supervisor Fennell and I on the committee, just brought forward last week, you know, all the other business licenses that the state's going to require, and so there's going to be I think there's going to be a lot of jobs that are created out of this. You know, I know people. I just went to Arcata and met some folks the other day that I know, and they've spent over, I think, $1 million so far redoing the old Wayne Bear office and looking at doing processing and manufacturing and all that. And I mean, there's quite a few jobs that come around with that, and they're all good jobs too. You know, $20 an hour jobs. And so I think there's going to be quite a few. And that's not including the people who are farmers that, you know, have a few people working for them, and they all do pretty well. And if they're a business, you know, they're going to have taxes and the whole nine yards. So
any fear that it's you're putting the cart before the ox or horse, depending on what you like to ride?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that you have to, I mean, this is the start of it, you know, and you have to start somewhere. And so we're going to have a land use ordinance that people will be able to come into legal compliance, you know, according to the three state laws that were just passed and signed by the governor. And I've heard I think quite a few people are going to take advantage of this. And then when other people see that it, you know, that it works, more people will come on. And
but without the federal allowances being in place, isn't it all risky? Because if the feds dropped in.
So there's a couple of things with the feds. First of all, they've done the memos, the Cole memo and another memo saying basically they have a list of things that they're looking for, you know, no kids, keeping out of the hands of kids.
Their concerns.
No cross state, no black market, you know, and there's a whole
list. So how are you going to do that one with Oregon right there and theirs being legal?
I don't know all the answers to this, but
you were the one a couple weeks ago, right? They were on the Arcata Plaza, some kids from South Carolina, three hefty bags full.
Literally out in plain sight.
Big hefty bags full of
and they were arrested, you know, so
yeah, for being stupid, I think, more than anything else.
Once you have a legal
route, you think the feds
the feds are not going to enforce it. You know, they said if you do these things, we are not going to enforce it. And then the other big thing that happened was that the feds aren't allowed to spend money on enforcing states that have rules in place. And so I think those two things make it pretty safe. There was actually a court case that was just settled too, where the feds were going in and busting the businesses, even though, because they had the memo that said, you know, you're not going to go after states with rules. So they went after the businesses. They said, well, we're not going to go after the state, but we'll go after the businesses. And the courts totally rejected that, threw it out, and now they can't go after the businesses that are following rules.
So one of the challenges I know were for those of us who are federally regulated or licensed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of our buddies at the banks. I'm thinking of our buddies at the transmitters. Okay, I have been told by my FCC attorney. Mm-hmm. I have been told by state association broadcast attorneys. I've been told by everybody that I would be a double-digit IQ fool if I took a single dollar in advertising of anything related to the direct sale of mm-hmm. marijuana.
Yeah, and I believe that. That is, you know, and I think tribes are.
So what's the diff then? I mean, why would they be prosecuting or not allowing the banks or the broadcasters, but now they're going to allow the retailers?
Mm-hmm. Are you trying to make sense out of the federal government right now?
I'm looking for consistency. I mean, even
are
if it's all
to find consistency
no, if it's consistent stupidity, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
It's the lack of consistency that just
there is
scratches my head, and it could set us up for change in administration, change in policy, change mm-hmm. of interpretation, and we put all of our eggs in this basket, so to speak.
I mean, is it cut and dried? No.
But that was really bad.
Yeah, okay, sorry. But is it
trimmed and dried? Okay, now I'm with you.
is it here? Is it not going away? Is, you know, Colorado, Washington, D.C., Oregon, you know, I mean, the states are going one at a time, you know, in California.
Eventually it'll tip.
Yeah,
but you don't get bloody being in the back of the pack.
I think we have Oregon, Washington, Colorado to look at and see what's happened there. And, you know, the biggest barrier is the banks. You know, having the banking system not work for them is
one of the top two most challenging things is the banks.
Is not good. Yeah. I mean, you have that much cash around. I mean, because what happens is, you know, in an all cash business,
it's like an enticement for the bad boys.
And it's just so easy to not report everything. And, you know, it just comes with a lot of problems. And even transporting cash around, having that much cash on hand all the time, it's just dangerous. And so I think that eventually something will happen with that. But, yeah, I mean, it's not a guarantee, but I think that
it's not in the baggie yet.
I don't think we can ignore it. You know, I think that other places are going to do it. So we can either be on board and take advantage of it and see what happens.
You've gone on this speech a couple of times before, haven't you?
That's what I thought. Yeah, I mean, there's same questions, but I have the same worries, you know, and so do people doing business. Some people are, you know, spending millions of dollars on their infrastructure to get this ready, and they have the same business risk. You know, it's not a little amount, but I mean,
I think it might be a small percentage for them. However,
it does have a lot of opportunity, and I think the business risk for them is worth it because they see what the opportunity is. And with that, you'll have the jobs that come along with it while they're here. So,
one can only hope. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:44. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.